SBS සිංහල ගුවන්විදුලිය සමකෙන්
ඔබේ ප්‍රජාවේ සිදුවන දෑ සහ ඔබේ සංවාද සඳහා දැන් SBS සිංහල වැඩසටහන ඔබ වෙනුවෙන්ම.
ජනවාරි මාසයේ 26 වෙනිදාට යෙදෙන ඔස්ට්‍රේලියා දිනයේදී සම්මානයට පාත්‍ර වුණු ශ්‍රී ලාංකිකයන් පිළිබඳව අවධානය යොමු කරමින් අපි මීට පෙර එක් ශ්‍රී ලාංකිකයෙකු පිළිබඳව කතා බහ කළා. ඔහු පිළිබඳව ඔබට හඳුන්වා දුන්නා. ඔහු තමයි Order of Australia Medal OAM සම්මානයෙන් පිදුම් ලැබූ මෙල්බන් වාසි ස්නායුරෝග වෛද්‍ය මහාචාර්ය තිස්ස විජේරත්න මහතා. ඉතින් අද අපි මේ සූදානම් වන්නේ මේ OAM Order of Australia Medal කියන කාණ්ඩයට අයත්ව සම්මානයට පාත්‍ර වුණු ශ්‍රී ලාංකික පසුබිමක් තියෙන තවත් පුද්ගලයෙකු පිළිබඳව. ඔහු නිව් සවුත් වේල්ස් ප්‍රාන්තයේ වෙසෙන ජයිල්ස් ගුණසේකර. ඔහුට තියෙන ශ්‍රී ලාංකික පසුබිමක් ඔහුගේ දෙමාපියන් ශ්‍රී ලංකාවේ සිට මෙරටට සංක්‍රමණය වුණු පුද්ගලයින්. ඉතින් ඔස්ට්‍රේලියාවේ සමාජ සුබසාධනය වෙනුවෙන් ජයිල්ස් ගුණසේකර සිදුකරපු විශිෂ්ට සේවය ඇකීම සඳහායි මෙවර OAM එසේත් නොමැතිනම් Order of Australia Medal මේ පදක්කමෙන් ඔහුව පුදනු ලබන්නේ. ඉතින් අපි දැන් ඔහුත් එක්ක සාකච්ඡා කරන්න සූදානම් ඔහුගේ මේ සම්මානය පිළිබඳවත් ඔහුගේ පසුබිම පිළිබඳවත්, ඔහු මෙරට සමාජ සුබසාධන සේවයට සිදුකරපු විශිෂ්ට මෙහෙය පිළිබඳවත්. නමුත් ඔහුට සිංහල භාෂාව කතා බහ කිරීමේ හැකියාවක් නොමැති නිසා අපි මෙතන සිට ඉංග්‍රීසි භාෂාවෙන් මේ සාකච්ඡාව මෙහෙවන්නට සූදානම්. එහෙමනම් ජයිල්ස්, අපි ඔබව සාදරයෙන් පිළිගන්නවා SBS සිංහල වැඩසටහනට. Giles, warmly welcoming you to the SBS Sinhala Language Program.
Thanks, Dilruksha. Great to be here. Thank you.
First of all, congratulations on your OAM award. And we would like to know, how do you feel about that first?
Yeah, it's a very humbling experience. I've done a lot of community service work, not-for-profit work, behind closed doors and often in secret. So to receive such a public recognition off the work is very humbling and very pleasing, and hopefully also more importantly shines a light on the great not-for-profits that are out there that are all doing, you know, great work for the community, and also the number of people out there that similar to me are also volunteering their time for these community organizations.
Okay, so you have been selected for the OAM award for this year for the enormous social work that you have been doing. Can you please let us know a bit more about your social welfare work?
Yeah, so my initial move in social welfare and community services was actually with my mum at the age of 7, delivering Meals on Wheels as a child. So during the school holidays, my mum would take me to deliver Meals on Wheels to the elderly that weren't able to cook meals for themselves. So that was my very first experience in volunteering and not-for-profit work. That then transitioned into what is now a 33-year relationship that I've had with Amnesty International. I was really interested in the work that Amnesty International was doing, and joined the organisation at the age of 16 to work on human rights campaigns and a whole range of different issues. You know, growing up as a first-generation Australian, obviously of Sri Lankan parents, I was constantly reminded of how fortunate, I was and our family was to be in Australia, and, you know, really wanted to give back to the community and give back to people that didn't have the same opportunities and experiences as I did. I also, you know, as a child, suffered from harassment, bullying, racism, you know, through that experience developed, some resilience, but also, you know, recognised that there were also people that are in a worse off position than I. So I volunteered for Amnesty International, went on to speak at schools and universities, which I still do to this day. I was on regional committees, eventually spent 8 years on the national board as a treasurer and director, and then also spent some time on a variety of different global committees to help look at the sustainability of the organisation globally. So played lots of different roles at Amnesty International, as well as, you know, several other charities and a couple of Sri Lankan ones, which I'm sure we'll get to. But yeah, that has been a little bit of the story behind my involvement in the not-for-profit sector.
Giles, you have been involving with the Sri Lankan charity services as well. That is so interesting to know. And I can see that in the information that I've been received from OAM committee. You have an advisory part as well in regards to that social welfare charity services in Sri Lanka. We would like to know a bit more about that too.
Yeah, so two charities that have been involved with specifically in Sri Lanka. One is the Foundation of Goodness, which initially started post the tsunami, but has now branched out, you know, right throughout Sri Lanka, you know, working in 10 to 12 different regional communities in Sri Lanka. The thing that attracted me to the Foundation of Goodness initially was it was very much focused on helping people to help themselves. So the Foundation of Goodness back then and still to this day runs a lot of programs to help particularly women and girls, but also across the whole of the community, runs programs to help people, you know, build businesses, build skills, and ultimately, you know, create a future, you know, for themselves through skills and education. So was involved in doing some fundraising for them, spent a bit of time at the charity as well on the ground. And it's been a great experience, you know, being involved in that particular charity. The other organisation that I've been involved with is an organisation called Volunteers Assisting Children with Disabilities. That's VACD. We operate throughout the Uva province in Sri Lanka, a very poor, marginalised you know, area of Sri Lanka, which I'm sure many of your listeners would be familiar with. And the charity is focused primarily on helping children with disabilities, but also their families. So similar to the Foundation of Goodness, providing skills, providing education, providing support for children with disabilities and also their families. In a place like Sri Lanka, and not too dissimilar to other countries in the subcontinent and throughout Asia, there isn't a lot of support like we have here in Australia, you know, through the NDIS system. You know, there's not a lot of support in those countries for children with disabilities to get an education, to have a job. So it's been really gratifying. I worked with the founder, Mr. Felix Stephen, a fellow Sri Lankan. He founded the charity. I then helped set up the charity in terms of working with Felix and other organisations to write the constitution, to get our not-for-profit DGR status. And today we're a ACNC recognised charity and raising money throughout Australia, all throughout the world for the work that we do. I also helped to set up the US entity and sit on the advisory board for the US entity as well. So yeah, it's been a great experience being able to, you know, to give back to my motherland and ultimately help people that are unable to help themselves.
Giles, you are a Sri Lankan origin and your parents migrated to Australia maybe many years back. Can you give a brief background of yourself and your family background?
Yeah, so my parents migrated initially to New Zealand in the early 70s. My brother and I were both born in Christchurch, New Zealand in the early 70s. And in 1975, we moved from Christchurch to Melbourne. I did all my schooling, you know, both primary school, secondary school and university in Melbourne. We grew up on the Mornington Peninsula, town, a suburb of Mount Eliza, which is about an hour out of Melbourne. My dad had his siblings that already moved to Melbourne before we arrived there from New Zealand. So he had his family network around him. My mum, similar. So there was, you know, as we all know, the very large Sri Lankan population in Melbourne. So we, you know, we obviously had that support network around us. My dad is a doctor, so one of the reasons for him moving to New Zealand was to do his internship, which he did at Christchurch Hospital and then continued his general practice in Melbourne. My dad still practices as a GP, going on now 40 plus years as a general practitioner in Frankston. My mum has worked professionally for a number of different organisations, but has also been a volunteer, as well as worked for St Vincent de Paul. And so that's where, I guess, some of that early exposure to not-for-profits and community organisations came from. But yes, that's been a little bit of the family background. In 1998, I moved to Sydney, and I've been in Sydney ever since.
Okay. How often do you go to Sri Lanka?
Pre-COVID, we were going, if not every year, every couple of years, both personally as well as professionally. So I've also spent some time in Sri Lanka doing some teaching, particularly in financial services, which is the area that I've spent most of my career in. So I've spent some time teaching through the Securities and Exchange Commission on a variety of topics in financial planning, funds management. But yeah, the majority of our trips have been for, you know, for personal reasons, for holidays, but also working and volunteering with some of our not-for-profits. So yeah, unfortunately, haven't been back for a while because of COVID, but are looking to head back there in the not-too-distant future.
I wonder whether you can understand Sinhala language.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Very poorly, so I'm not going to embarrass myself on a Sri Lankan radio program.
That's okay, Giles. That's why we are, you know, conducting this interview in English. No problem at all. So apart from your services to the social welfare field in this country and the charity work that you are doing, I've got to know that you are actively involving in cricket as well. So that's another interesting part of yourself. Tell us a bit more about that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we all know, cricket is the number one religion in Sri Lanka. So, yeah, very happy to talk about that. So in 2019, I was appointed as a ambassador for the ICC T20 World Cup for both men and women. So throughout 2019 and 2020, doing a lot of community engagement work with the Sri Lankan community and other communities to really raise the profile of the T20 World Cup and particularly the Women's World Cup. So professionally, in our work, we do a lot of work in gender equality and trying to raise the profile of organisations that are doing good work in this area, but more importantly, just trying to engage more females and have them more involved in the business as well as the not-for-profit world. So our work in gender equality led to that role. And specifically, we wanted to increase the number of men in that were attending the ICC World Cup and specifically the Women's World Cup. So in our research, we found that not a lot of particularly subcontinental men were interested in attending the Women's World Cup. So set upon a fairly active community engagement campaign and education campaign around, you know, the strength of the women's game, you know, the great opportunities that it gives both men and women, but particularly, you know, women and girls to participate and play in a great sport like cricket. And pleasingly, you know, the work that we did worked, and we saw a very large increase through ticket sales and through attendance. We also saw, you know, more women, more girls attend and ultimately play cricket as well. There was about 20 of us that were ICC T20 World Cup ambassadors. So we continue that work for the Men's World Cup. You know, lots of people attend these games, but we wanted it to be a safe, authentic, genuine environment. It was a fantastic tournament, both the Women's and the Men's World Cup, for diversity, equality, inclusion. You know, really, really brought home the multicultural society that we have here in Australia and our love and embracement of that multiculturalism through the great game of cricket. So, yeah, it was a really great experience. Enjoyed it immensely. Can't wait for another World Cup to be held in our country. But, yeah, as I said, you know, most importantly, it really brought home the diversity, you know, the equality and inclusion of our multicultural Australia.
Absolutely. Before we end this discussion, I would like to know a bit more about your future plans for your social work.
Yeah, I'm still involved in lots of charities and lots of social work. So the organisation I mentioned before, VACD, continue to fundraise, continue to do work in Sri Lanka. I'm also on the board of an organisation called the Sunrise Project, which is a climate justice focused NGO. I'm on a couple of UN advisory boards, one for climate and health, another one for sustainable finance. I'm on the Future 2 Foundation board, which is a board set up initially by the Financial Planning Association of Australia, and that's focused on disadvantaged youth and trying to improve the lives of disadvantaged youth. So I think there's probably a few boards still, Rukshi, that I may have forgotten, so apologies to those organisations. But yeah, that's where I'm spending a majority of my voluntary time, and also, yeah, organisations like the Foundation of Goodness as well in Sri Lanka, looking to increase and improve its profile here in Australia, but also in continue to do the work that we're doing, particularly in the empowerment and education of women and girls in Sri Lanka.
Thank you so much, Giles, speaking to SBS Sinhala Language Program. We wish you all the very best for your future endeavours, and good luck.
Thanks very much, Durukshi. Appreciate your time.
SBS Radio.
මේ වගේ තවත් තොරතුරු දැනගන්න කැමතිද? එහෙමනම් Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify හෝ ඔබගේ podcast ලබා ගන්න ඕනෑම මාධ්‍යකින් අපට සවන් දෙය හැකේ.